Good morning. We're excited today, this morning, to give this report. It was an awesome mission trip. And I think the exciting part was we had about seven or eight people that hadn't gone on a mission trip at all, and I think only three of us that had ever been to Honduras. So it was really exciting for have all these new faces to come and really experience something different. And I'm going to stop right now and just let whoever wants to come up and say what they want to for a couple of minutes, and we're going to be showing some slides and while we're talking. So, okay, go ahead.
It was a real privilege to visit Honduras. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus tells us to go to all nations to make disciples and to teach them. All my life, I've heard missionaries speak and show pictures of their ministries, so I enjoyed seeing what missionaries experience for myself. Before I left, I had some preconceived ideas of what I would see. I expected to see ignorant, dirty, smelly natives dressed in rags. Instead, I met intelligent, clean, well-dressed Christians who were very friendly. Also, I thought I would find dirty rooms with bugs. All the rooms I saw were clean, and I saw no bugs except for one spider, which was outside. Honduras has many wonderful things to experience. It is a beautiful country of valleys surrounded by mountains, which are much higher than ours. The houses are small and mostly made of cement blocks, and some are brightly painted. As we traveled, we would see unusual sights, such as cows being driven down the road, chickens foraging for food, and clothes drying on fences. Also, the coffee plants, palm trees, and other native vegetation were lovely to see. Trying to communicate with people who could not speak English was challenging. It was rewarding when I could use the few Spanish words that I knew and find that they understood me. On the other hand, it was also humorous and sometimes embarrassing when I would say the wrong thing and make them laugh, but they were always kind and helpful. Also, the food was delicious. I especially enjoyed the fresh pineapple juice, orange juice, and watermelon juice. Their worship services were inspiring. They were well attended, even though the people had to walk or ride packed in the back of a pickup truck. I was impressed at the number of participants in the services, in both the music and the speaking. The people were very enthusiastic in singing and clapping as they worshiped God from their hearts. Furthermore, they listened attentively and made verbal responses as the minister spoke. The people were friendly and excited for us to visit their services. In a youth service that we were privileged to attend, it was so powerful when the young people laid hands on us and prayed for us. God's presence was so real in their worship. Besides building the church, some of us were privileged to participate in a program for children at three different locations. One of the programs was at a church located at the city dump with around 120 children, women, and even a few men. It was a touching experience to see so many people who had walked over steep, rough roads to learn more about Jesus. Thank you for making the backpacks, buying the school supplies, and making the cards. The children were excited to get the supplies and also to receive a picture of themselves. Also, thank you, Sarah, for using your knowledge of Spanish to lead the programs as well as to translate for us. Thank you for the opportunity to travel with Christian brothers and sisters to be a missionary for a week.
My biggest challenge is trying to condense it to a couple minutes. I have a whole journal full of lessons that the Lord has taught me. But I have to start off saying that this was totally a dream come true for me. And the team knows I'm very emotional about what this all meant to me, to be able to go. When I was four, I really distinctly remember the Lord placing a seed in my heart for missions, and this is the first opportunity that I was able to go on one, and it was just so humbling for the people that came around my family. Pastor and Debbie were at my house every day. My mom flew in from Idaho, and I just was so humbled to be able to be a part of this. I learned a lot of things, But just, I think, probably the two most important take-home messages for me was that God is raising up his people from every nation, every culture, every language. He's raising up people that are so fervent for him and that love him so much. And it made me want to just really live that out in my life. Darla mentioned that we went up to a city dump. There's a church right across from a whole hill. It's just a mountain that's just burning trash. And there's a whole village that lives off of the trash. As we drove past, you could see people standing on boards, looking for this trash. And they found out the night before that we were coming, and we were trying to get supplies together, and Darla and Linda worked really hard getting things organized for the kids, and they said there might be 60. We got there. There was over 120 kids, and that's pretty overwhelming. Most of the groups we visited, there was a small group of kids, and you could really interact one-on-one with them a lot. But it was just a reminder, too, that God, the smallest things done in Jesus' name are impactful for the people that are sharing his name as well. And so I think the biggest take-home message for me was that God is raising up a church. The town that we built the church in, the Church of Nazarene has gone in and planted over 20 churches. And before they came in, they targeted this area because it was so, there was so much violence, so much gang involvement. And they were telling us that now they're ready to go to a new area because God has so used these churches. And it was really neat just to see, God working and the church plants that were going on just constantly. There's a picture that should be coming up of two little girls, beautiful little girls, and I loved it because I didn't know the language, but kids are kids everywhere, and moms are moms everywhere, and I was just felt such a connection with these kids and these moms. And but one of the moms was telling me through Sarah her story. She said that she shares it to everybody that she can. There was a little girl, she's 4 years old now, and when we first met her, Jeff and I have a video because she was telling us, reciting the Beatitudes to us at 4 years old. And her mom, what makes it even more amazing is that when she was a baby, before she was born actually, they found out that she had hydrocephalus, which is like a water on the brain, and she was not supposed to talk, she was not supposed to walk, she was not supposed to be functional at all. And her mom prayed for her so fervently, and she felt like God had promised her she would be healed and she would be used mightily in his kingdom. And when you see her today, she's a walking miracle. And so her mom goes around telling her story, and she said something that has really stuck with me the whole time, and that is, people will come to church to hear a speaker if he's really good, but they will not come to hear a speaker like they will come when they see miracles in our lives. And that was a really big take-home message for me. Are we as a church showing off God's miracles in our lives, no matter how big or how small they are?
I think the word that I want to say is contrast. We do not know what it's like in a third world country unless you've been there. There's no way you can explain it. I mean, it was so interesting when we went into the country. I mean, imagine, we had to be fingerprinted, photoed, we had led through the airport, there were guards with machine guns. I mean, that's pretty scary when you're not used to it. And the traffic, we don't have traffic here at all. It's kind of chaos. Everybody does whatever they want. I don't think there's any rules. The scenery was fantastic. It was kind of an adventure riding in a vehicle because you kept dodging big potholes. We don't have potholes here at all. The people were fantastic. I don't know how to. I had more hugs in a week than I've had in the last year. It was just totally amazing. They're just genuine people. And I think the takeaway that I have is how great it was to go on a trip, to bond together as a group. We learned more about each other. It didn't matter whether we were with children or on the job site. We could not have done what we did unless we bonded together. It doesn't matter. If you've never worked at a construction site, there's always something to do. I'm not going to be scared of going again if they're just a construction job, because you don't really need a skill. You just need a willingness to work together. The church people were so genuine in their expressions of faith, regardless of the language. You could just feel it. Can you imagine 40 to 50 people crowded into a small living room, sitting on plastic chairs, the same time we ministered to children on the porch? And these people had been waiting for a church for 4 years. So the church that we worked on, which other people explain, is going to be their church. And they are just so thankful for everything. We took pictures of the children. Seeing them have pictures of themselves probably for the first time in their life was just amazing. We already talked about the one program we did at a church near the dump. When we ran out of supplies or we didn't have enough, we gave each child a coloring sheet and 2 crayons. They were so thrilled just to have that. And when, at the end of the program, a couple of the kids wanted to return their crayons so somebody else could use them. Can you imagine that? It was so neat to go up in the mountains and to see the churches that our previous teams had built and the medical clinic. And I could not believe that the contrast. What they had in the medical clinic is probably less than we have in our own homes for medical supplies. I just couldn't believe it. I'm ready to go back whenever. One of the things that I really also appreciated, as Darla said, was people at the youth service laying hands on all of us and praying for us. And after the service, the woman who led the service hugged me, thanked me, and in English said, "I have to come back to Honduras. Your family's here." So around the world, we're bound together in love, all worshiping the same God. It's just amazing.
I went on the trip. This is the first time out of country, and they called me Salib. I really enjoyed it. There was a lot to see. The trip down, the scenery, the camaraderie with the group we went all together, kind of getting to know each other, and just a good time. I spent a lot of time up on the roof. I was never a fan of heights, and I think God kind of took that fear out of me for helping to build a church for him. It was really neat. Got to meet a lot of the locals. Two of them that were there that I got to work with was Alan and Juan, and Juan's boy, which you've seen him. Really neat. Got beyond the language barrier, I guess, and got to talk a little and share different words and how to say them. And it was a very good time. The mountain ride was good. Everything was good. The church services. I think the best thing I brought back with me is we focus here in America on just our life and working and going about life, and we just need to slow down and put others first. So, I mean, we work our whole life for the things we have, and then we just discard them when we die, and they seem to take their time and enjoy life where they're at. They still work. They still have responsibilities with family and homes, but it's just, we waste a lot of time, I think, and I brought back, it's time to slow down and do things for others.
Well, this is my first missions trip out of the country, and, hi, So yeah, this was the first missions trip that I went on out of the country. It'd be a really amazing experience for everybody that, you know, would go. But for me and my mom, it was really, really cool because not only did we get to experience everything that everybody else talked about, but we met Juan Carlos, who built which church with you guys?
Santa Rosa.
We built the Santa Rosa church with Snook on the last couple trips, and he got to work with my dad. And so that was really cool because we got to work with him. But the really neat thing was that we got to work with his son, and I made really good friends with him. And that was really neat because, I got to work with a kid that is the son of who worked with my dad. And we got to go to all the different places that we built on previous trips and see all those. And it was just a really neat experience. And hopefully you guys could get to go sometime too.
We're the ones that get to come up here and tell you what the trip was about and what it was like. But, man, we couldn't do it without everybody here. Those that bought soap and cookbooks and those that contributed money for the construction materials and those that prayed for us. We are all in this as a team, not just the ones that have gone down. And for every soul that is being saved through the churches that we work with, you're part of it. You get to share in that glory. The church that we had helped build was for a congregation that now meets in the pastor's home. And one of the first introductions that I remember from that home was when we were sitting in the living room and the little boy that you had seen earlier with the guitar looked back and said, "Muchos gringos." So that's a little memory. The church that we attended Saturday night impressed me because sometimes we sing songs here and we feel caught up in the music and feel spiritual, and you just wonder on occasion, you know, is it just emotional or is it faith? Well, in that church Saturday night, I didn't know any of the words that were being sung. They were in Spanish. But you could physically feel the presence of God in that church. It's not just emotional. It is God here with us. But the greatest lesson that I came back with from this trip was that there were at least a couple of people with us that were way out of their comfort zone and going. And they went and they worked. And I thought, man, that's a whole sermon right there, jumping out of our comfort zone to serve God. And that was the most powerful thing that I brought out of it this time.
We need to pause for a commercial break. Linda had mentioned the medical center that we went to, how there was just no drugs there, hardly at all. Like she said, hardly more than what you would have in your house. And 8 months ago, last May, Jeff and I and Daryl and Tim had gone to that medical center. We built a church right below it. And we had taken $1,700 worth of drugs, and it was all used up. They're serving 9 communities and 2,200 people. And I kind of on my heart that we need to try and help out the medical center a little bit on a more stable basis as far as medicine. And I kind of thought that's what we ought to do. And Shannon had got the ball going. Tonight there's going to be an offering at the service tonight to help out for medical supplies for a medical center. But I just want to make you guys aware of it. If you would put it in a blue and white envelope and mark it Medical Center, we'd see that them medical supplies would get there. We went through a lot of prayer and work to build the medical center in 2009, and it just would seem senseless not to have medicine, you know, in the medical center. So that's our commercial break for the day. Now, I have one story yet I want to tell, and it's a little involved, but not too bad. I've really been studying hard to try and learn Spanish. Well, and as all you know, just learn another language hard, but you know, in the pressures of life around here, it's extremely difficult to try and learn something on your own without talking to anybody. But I've progressed over the years to the point where at least I can get around. I'll call it that. Well, anyway, when we drove to the mountain to the medical center, Caleb and I and Alon, the one contractor, we drove out in the pickup because we needed that to get up in the mountain. And it was just such a blessing. I asked him, I said, Alon, I said, when did Christ come into your heart? And he said, 5 years ago. Then he started, he said, I was an alcoholic for 12 years. He said, I was a maniac when I was drunk. He said, I did cocaine. He said, I did marijuana. He said, but thank the Lord, he said, I have Jesus in my heart now. And that it's a better way. And I've been just mulling over them words. And I would just ask if there's anybody here today that doesn't know the Lord as your Savior, that you would take this as an invitation to think about them words, what Alan said. If Jesus could come and help this man that was just a wreck physically, as far as, and spiritually, as far as being a druggie and an alcoholic, and he can turn him around and make something out of him. He can do it for you, too. He's done it for others. He's done it for me. And I would seriously want you to consider those words as an invitation. If you don't know God or you're off the beaten path some and not where you think you ought to be, that you would think about them words and consider them and Let Jesus in your heart. Surrender to him. You'll gain so much more than what you ever thought you had. And it was such a story. And I'm just thank the Lord that I knew enough Spanish to understand what he said. And that was definitely the highlight of my trip. This time we're going to have Sarah come, and she's going to testify maybe, but then she's going to sing a song for us too. And that will be the end of our time. So thank you.
I'm going to share a little bit. I grew up in this church, and I spent many years and many days here. If you know me, you know that 10 years ago I went to Venezuela when I was in college for the first time. If you don't know me, I'm Sarah Klein, sorry. I'm an humble, Patsy's granddaughter, Kathy's niece. And I went to Venezuela for the first time when I was in college 10 years ago. And I loved it. God was working something in me. I went again the next year, and I went again the next year, 3 years in a row. I didn't know at the time what those trips meant, but I knew and I felt that it was supposed to be something with Hispanics. I just fell in love with the people, fell in love with the culture. I had moved to Kansas City to attend seminary. I only went for 1 year, nothing against seminary, it just wasn't for me, but I got very involved in a Spanish-speaking church, and I was there for 5 years, and I worked at a bilingual preschool, and I picked up the language, and people asked me, how did you learn Spanish? Well, I immersed myself in it. I only ever took one Spanish class, and I credit so much of it to God for that ability. And when I signed up to go to Honduras, I was excited because I have a lot of friends who are from there, and I would finally be able to see what they were talking about. I love the food, I love the people, so I wanted to go check it out. I didn't really expect God to speak to me because I thought he already spoke to me. I thought I already knew what was gonna go on, what was gonna happen, but you know, God doesn't work that way. He continues to speak and move. As an interpreter, it can be a challenge to receive the message of the Holy Spirit when you are hearing one language and then going into English, as I was trying to help the team understand the services. There were three services that we sat in on at three different locations. The first one was on the importance of sharing the gospel and pleasing God and not man. I didn't really think anything. I was like, good message, you know. I hope people were touched and received. The next message was on callings of people in the Bible and how, you know, God, you've heard it said before, God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And again, just, you know, there's no excuse as to why you shouldn't be able to do something. In my life, I'm like, oh, I can't do this because of this, or I can't do this because of something else. And then the third message, Saturday night at the youth service, was following God's path for your life. And by Saturday night, my heart was pounding out of my chest. I'm like, okay, God, you have my attention. So I really feel God calling me back to Honduras. I don't know when. It's his plan. It's in his timing. But he was very clear. And everybody asked, well, what do you want to do? Because I'm 30 years old and I still really don't feel like I know what I want to do. And on this trip, it wasn't just a trip for me to enjoy. It was kind of a what's next moment. What do I do from here? Where do I go after this point? And I just felt such peace. I moved back home about a year ago, and I would always say to Jeff and Crystal, I'm not content, I'm not content. I don't know what's going on, but I'm not content. And I was so content in Honduras. Sorry. And I just felt so at peace and at ease, and it won't be easy. And I have no idea what God's plan is, but I'm ready to be used. And I'm sorry I'm crying, because I have to sing a song now, and I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I'll do it. The song I'm going to sing is the Revelation song. I'm going to sing it in Spanish, but we do have the words on the screen. If you know it and you want to sing along in English, that's great. I was going to read a verse, and I didn't bring my Bible up, but it's just one of those songs that talks about what heaven's going to be like. And it's so exciting for me to worship in Spanish. And to think about that day when we're all united in heaven with all the nations, and we're all going to be able to understand each other, because God's going to break down that barrier, and we're just going to have that time to worship him for eternity. Thank you.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Praise his name. I've been so blessed this morning to hear each of you share. Thank you for sharing today from your hearts. What a blessing it is to serve God wherever we're at, in Honduras, in Mifflinburg, wherever we're at. And it's been such a blessing to hear from our team today. Wherever we are, we can fulfill the Great Commission. Wherever we work, wherever we go to school, wherever we rub shoulders with people, God can show us how we can have influence in the world around us. What a great privilege it is. Thank you for sharing. I've been blessed today. And we're so glad you're going to be, most of you anyway, will be a part of our second service. And just looking forward, would you stand together and let's pray together as we close our service. Dear Heavenly Father, what a great privilege it is for me this morning to sit and to listen and to hear the testimony of these people that I've had a great opportunity to go to a place that many of them had never been before and to interact with Christians from a different culture and people who are not Christians in Honduras. And Lord, what a great privilege it is to hear them talk about how you spoke to their hearts. And each one of them shared the things that they brought away from their experience. And we're thankful to hear each one of them. We're thankful, God, for the body of Christ around the world. And as one person talked about how in every nation around the world, the gospel is proclaimed and people come to faith in Christ. And whether we're a believer in the United States or in Venezuela or Honduras or Africa or India or wherever we're at, that we share together the Lord Jesus Christ and the wonder of serving a holy and an infinite and awesome God. I'm so thankful this morning for that great privilege. Thankful for who you are. Thankful for this trip and for those that were able to experience it. I'm thankful for a church that supports missions in so many different ways, from all the way around the world in Honduras and right here at home. God, I pray that we'd be a missionary church. I pray that we would have people in our hearts and on our minds, and we would see people as a mission field, and we would see our time and our hands and, Lord, whatever we have as stewards, being able to proclaim the gospel in whatever form we can. I thank you today for that. Thank you that you're a missionary God. Thank you that you love people so deeply. I pray, God, that we would have the same vision and the same eyes and the same heart for people, and that we would love them and want to see them come to Christ. Thankful for the Church of the Nazarene and to be a part of a denomination that cares deeply about taking the gospel around the world. Help us to know how. Help us, God, to be faithful. Help us to have insight. Help us, Lord, to know how to impact people for you and be what you called the church to be, Father, we pray. I thank you for every person on this team in Honduras, and pray you would continue to work in their hearts and draw them closer and closer to you. God, show them the path that you have for them to be the kind of Christians that you want them to be, Lord. I'm thankful especially as Sarah shared. God, I pray that you would lead Sarah and help her to know the path that you want for her life. And whatever it is, God, that it would be clear to her and that you would speak at her heart and her life. And each one of them would sense your hand on them. Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused on you and be drawn to serving you wherever it is, we pray. We thank you for the privilege of worship today and the privilege to be together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless. Thank you. And thank you, Becca. You played so beautifully, and I enjoyed that so much. Thank you.